Hi there, this is Mike Quinn. You'll know me as Nine Numb in Star Wars, and you're listening to the McSauce Podcast.
Welcome to episode 345 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharply.
Hello.
And Matt Cassell.
Hello.
It is Monday night, October 26th, and tonight we bid adieu to McSauce-tober 2020.
Bid a boo?
Oh, our pun game is strong right out of the gate. 2020's been a rough year. We hope you enjoyed these last, five episodes? I think we had a long October this year, right?
Yeah, I think so. And then I think we have a couple of private reserve McSauce-tober episodes, too.
True. Very true. We hope we brought you a little bit of light in the dwindling darkness of 2020.
In the final days of existence, hopefully...
Well, we've got one more McSauce-tober episode for you tonight, and we couldn't have done it without McSauce Nation. We put the call out for Halloween, spooky-themed dealer's choice topics and questions, and just like always, McSauce Nation answered the call. They are undeniable. They are ready to support the pod. This is the kind of fan you want to be. If you didn't submit a question...
Then we're just going to move on to somebody else's.
I don't even have the words. But before we spin the McSauce-tober Dealy Cheely Wheelie.
It's
That's
haunted.
Right, Ian.
It's haunted, folks.
It's a haunted housekeeping with ghoulish Ian Sharply.
As you did for the questions, hit us up on the socials. You can always chat with us on Twitter. You can share your pictures and like our pictures on Instagram. You can have nice full-fledged conversations with us on Facebook. All of the social medias is where we exist, so hit us up there.
What's your Twitter handle?
The Sauce.
What's Paul's Twitter handle?
The S-A-U-C-E?
Listeners of the show know that my middle name is S-O-S-S.
Even the new listeners,
because they download it and they're like, McSauce, that's very strange. And then they listened and they found out today. So, yeah, hit us up on all the social medias. And you can also buy merchandise. We have a TeePublic store. You can... buy a Theater Justice t-shirt if you wish. You can buy a McSauce-tober shirt. Matt is wearing one of those. I went over my parents' house this weekend, and my lovely wife had a McSauce-tober hoodie on, and my dad had on a Theater Justice t-shirt.
Oh, I love that your dad's representing Theater Justice.
I felt so good in these.
For those that don't know what Theater Justice is, very quickly... it is McSauce's stance on how to handle, back when they used to have movie theaters, it was how to handle unruly movie theater patrons with beheadings. And I love, Ian, that your dad was in support of such a policy.
He was rocking it. I'll have to, maybe if I can get that picture from my wife. Maybe if she took it normally and not on Snapchat, then that picture will still exist. But who knows? There's no guarantee. Likely, it was a Snapchat picture.
Well, so here's an interesting twist to housekeeping. You're going to want to find that Mixostober shirt on Redbubble. Because the McSauce Tea Public store is no longer in operation. We've moved distributors, and we are now on Redbubble.
So Redbubble is the exclusive distributor of all McSauce merch?
You know what's nice about Redbubble?
How would one find our gear there?
I believe you go to redbubble.com and then type in McSauce-tober. It may not be up there right now, but by the time this episode goes live, all of that stuff is going to be on there. Because Redbubble is real cool. Redbubble lets you lets the funds go right to your bank account. They don't handcuff you to a bitch ass service like PayPal. They don't force you down like a cattle chute where you get punched through your skull. Redbubble is really easy to use if you are a seller, if you're a consumer. This is a Redbubble house. This is a Redbubble house. What was the T-pubic. I don't even remember what it was called. Redbubble. You're gonna
we love our bubbles and we love them red.
All your exclusive McSauce merchandise, all the same merch. You can get shower curtains. You can get COVID masks, you can get backpacks, whatever you want with your McSauce branding on it, you can find it on Redbubble.
I hope a listener gets a McSauce shower curtain.
I thought you were going to say a McSauce backpack.
That too.
House is kept.
So let's dig into the old McSauce-tober dealer's choice wheel. McSauce Nation, thank you to everyone that submitted a question or a topic for tonight's fun, festive closing out of the 2020 McSauce-tober season. Matt, let's not waste another second. Let's spin that wheel. Oh, Ian, did you see that technique?
He has years of experience.
Oh, we got Cameron. Oh, right off the bat.
Cameron's question.
Well, somebody had to be right off the bat.
Combine your creativity to develop a new horror movie icon, one that would live alongside Jason, Freddy, Michael Myers, Leatherface, Pinhead, etc. as a staple of the genre. What would they be like, and what kind of horror movie would you make? Supernatural, home invasion, etc. So make a new horror icon.
All right, so what do we have right now? We have Freddy is supernatural, Pinhead is supernatural, Jason's kind of supernatural.
Leatherface is a street level killer.
Michael Myers supernatural is
street level with supernatural icing.
Ghostface, street level.
Kayako
from The Grudge, supernatural.
Who? What?
Bagul from Bagul, definitely supernatural. From Sinister. You know Sinister.
I've never seen Sinister.
Sinister is fucking creepy.
Well, I read recently that Sinister is considered the scariest movie ever, scientifically speaking. Meaning, like, a whole bunch of movies were shown to people and they measured, like, heart rate and breathing patterns or whatever. And from a medical standpoint, they determine Sinister is the scariest. But I kind of am not real sure about this list because the one movie I did see on it, well, I saw a few of them, but number three was The Conjuring. And the third scariest movie ever is The Conjuring? I don't know about
that one.
Well,
like, I've seen The Conjuring, and there are some creepy parts in The Conjuring, but Sinister scared me. Like, I don't think I'll watch Sinister again. I've been watching Eli Roth's History of Horror on AMC, where Eli Roth talks to a bunch of different directors and producers and actors about their favorite horror movies, and they'll cover, like, one episode's monsters, one episode's vampires, one's haunted houses. I fucking love that series. It's so fucking cool. And they were talking about
how
Sinister.
Have you not finished it by now?
Because it's
like
season
five...
two. They're in the middle of season two right now.
There's multiple seasons.
Yeah. There are. Okay. It's very good. I really like it. But they were talking about Sinister, and they were showing some clips and, like, explaining the plot and everything. Because they were doing haunted houses, and the house in Sinister is so plain. But, yeah, the image of Bagul is really creepy when, you know, Ethan Hawke's character stumbles upon, like, all those snuff films. Like, all of those films, like, the way they're shot with, like, a handheld. Yeah, Sinister is... I don't like Sinister. Like, I love it because it gives me exactly what I want. Not a lot of jump scares in Sinister, but when you turn all the lights off and you're going to bed after you watch it, like, everything's alive in the shadows of the room.
So that was our Sinister review.
Thanks, Cameron, for your question.
Hey, what new horror icon would you create?
I would really make Sinister.
You know, I was looking over the questions. I was like, man, we got some really good questions. We really need to, like, keep the time for each of these questions to a minimum to really get to everything tonight.
I'm glad that
here
you
I
held
am.
Close
here
to
I that. Am blowing this out of the water immediately.
So okay, so it seems relatively split between supernatural and street level. Is there another category that we're maybe somehow missing or overlooking? Is there somewhere, like, is there an opportunity for us to insert ourselves? Is there a void for us to insert ourselves into?
Well, I think if we're gonna create a new character, it can't be a pure slasher. I feel like slashers are really a part of their time. I think this needs to appeal to a broader audience.
I disagree.
You think you can create a new slasher?
I think you can, yeah, because with Ghostface, that was a whole new generation, and he has since become an icon, even though it's like a different killer every time. I mean, whenever you see like collages of like horror movies to watch, Scream is always in there, like with Michael Myers and Freddy.
Yeah, I think the plot and conceit of that movie were so unique and so cool because they took everything the culture knew about horror up until then and put it all into the narrative. Like, that's what made that movie and Ghostface stand out. Like, because
it was so over the top meta.
Yeah, exactly. Matt, we saw the Hell House, the movie we saw in Cleveland. Where they
Hellfest.
Go to the Hellfest. Hellfest was great. I couldn't tell you the name of that bad guy. And I feel like that was probably a really good attempt at creating a new slasher.
It was, but it was a terrible look. The guy's mask wasn't scary or cool. It was kind of like the first time we see Jason in Friday the 13th with the sheet on his head. And then they realized, I think we need to do better than this.
Sheets on heads are a pretty good slasher.
They're only scary to certain people.
Yes. A particular demographic finds them very scary.
Well, this particular sheet only had one hole in it. And it had a more of a flat top. It wasn't so pointy.
Flat top sheet, not very scary. Pointy, however. Two holes.
Two holes and pointy. That is the scariest. Yes. So, I mean, I don't know. I still think that Scream existed as a successful new icon outside of the 80s, 70s, and 80s that essentially created that genre.
But now the spook du jour is stuff like...
Spook du jour.
It's stuff like Slenderman. It's like this really goofy, like, you know, internet started stuff. Like, I don't know if, like, as much clout as Ghostface has. Like, I think if we're really going to move forward now, present day, it needs to be something that carries the modern audience and also appeals to, you know, us. And
the,
like,
old
for me,
audience. I think that what we need to narrow this down to is, out of those two categories, those are the tried and true. What scares you more, Supernatural or street level? For me, it's street level. Something that is real and could possibly potentially be out there. That scares me a little bit.
Daredevil, terrifying.
Yeah, Punisher. So I would say something that could possibly happen. A Michael Myers could possibly happen. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that shit's probably happening right now.
Yeah, yeah. And I agree, those killers are scary, but their settings are what makes them scary.
Well, like, we can make a setting. What setting scares you, Paul?
Cameron didn't say that it has to be a certain setting, but this is up to us.
Yeah. So do we agree that street level is scarier than Supernatural?
So for me, I look at Michael Myers and I'm like, oh, I'm not a babysitter, I'm safe. Leatherface, I'm like, well, I would never even remotely be in that situation.
But you might.
I'm safe. But no, we watched that movie together and we were both like, this movie, if we were in that movie, it would have ended like 2 minutes in.
You never know what road trip you could possibly be on. In what wrong turn you possibly could take.
I get it, but
we took road trips into West Virginia. Just saying.
I get it, but the likelihood of that happening...
We love you, West Virginia.
The likelihood of that happening is less. What scares me is something like The Strangers, where it's, oh, it's just because you're home. Or something like Bloody Mary, where you just conjure it by yourself. Like, you don't need to be in a place. You don't need to have a certain occupation. Babysitter. You can be anyone.
It's not exclusively.
I like the combo of. I know I'm being facetious. I like the combo of, it can happen to anyone. It's not tied to a certain place. Like, if I don't go to Crystal Lake, for the most part,
he went to Manhattan and the fucking moon or whatever.
Because people took him there. They took him there. Because
fear took him there.
But what scares me is something that you have no control over. I feel like in all of the situations, I have some modicum of control over everything I just talked about, but something that just shows up because, like, I thought about it, that's fucking terrifying. Because then you have no control, and then it's coming after you. So I would like I think this McSauce House would like a slasher that's not bound to one thing.
This maybe a monster of some kind?
I like ghosts and paranormal. I like something like Bloody Mary is terrifying to me. I will never ever do it.
Okay, so that's your
right.
We
that's
move
what
on.
That's what that but that that's what
so
I would like.
You would
in
like
the
a Bloody Mary paranormal thing, Matt. What kind of thing would you like?
Well, the thing that scares me the most are the things that I feel like I could see happening to me. I don't think there's going to be a creature that crawls out of the mirror and like kills me if I look at it in the dark, but like. I think one of the scariest thoughts would be like, you know, after this podcast, I go home and I walk into my house and the lights aren't on yet, but I can see a dark silhouette of somebody standing in my house, like at the end of the hall or something. To me, that's petrifyingly scary. And it's scary because it could happen. That is a scenario that could happen. So those are the ones that scare me, but I wouldn't mind that scenario. Like a home invasion, but maybe we could add a little bit of like a supernatural. There's something that is like, for example, I think the movie Jeepers Creepers is actually pretty cool because you don't at first you get the sense that it's like kind of grounded and real, but as it goes on, the supernatural elements kind of come to light. But that doesn't diminish it, really. It just continues to evolve, and I think that that's scary. So I think maybe something that it initially feels grounded, I mean, maybe kind of like a Jason. Jason is grounded, but yet has supernatural aspects to him. But we're going to come out of Camp Crystal Lake, and we're going to have, this is going to take place in your home, Paul, because you don't have control.
Right.
It's a home invasion.
That's what scares me. No control.
And it's going to be a female named Mary, Bloody Mary. And she is going to, she's going to live in your bathroom. And when you get up in the middle of the night, Paul, to take a shit, she's going to crawl out of the toilet.
Ha, joke's on you. I never shit in the middle of the night.
So this is connected to Paul's shitting.
Actually, I heard this
like,
story.
Oh, I got to go to the bathroom. If it's very Freddy-like, you can go to sleep. But this is connected to, it's Poopy Mary, and she waits for you in the toilet.
That's right.
When you have to go.
And she, like, she possesses you by, like, coming up out of the toilet and shooting herself up through your asshole.
Yeah, Poopy Mary. I love it.
And you become possessed, and then you go back to bed, and that's when you kill your significant other because you've been possessed by Poopy Mary.
Very cool.
So is a symptom of Poopy Mary constipation?
Yes.
Yes.
You don't know why you're doing these things.
Do you
all
have
you
to
know
go
is
to
that
the toilet?
You can't shit.
Like, because she lives in the toilet. So if you poop in the woods, would you be safe? Or would Poopy Mary climb out of the creek and come
get
you?
Well, I mean, see, this is why we need to work on the Poopy Mary backstory, because why is she tied to plumbing?
Because she was flushed down there by Mario and Luigi.
She
let's say we don't get supported by Nintendo.
She is a byproduct. She is a response to the impurities of it's kind of like teenage sex in horror movies. Those teenagers that do it get killed. So the masturbators that jerk off into a Kleenex and throw it in the toilet.
This is terrible.
That's what they end up flushing it, but it eventually that grows into Poopy Mary.
So come and poop.
I feel like
this is terrible.
I feel like we need to workshop.
We have to move on. I'm gonna just go quickly. Stuff that scares me, home invasion, the thing that was the scariest thing that I've seen this year, documentary, I'll Be Gone in the Dark, about the Golden State Killer. We did a great episode about the Golden State Killer. So my slasher would be Real World with a little bit of flair, but the scariest thing that I could imagine is waking up in the middle of the night, walking out, not a poop ghost, but walking out and seeing my door clearly ajar and not knowing what was going on. So it would definitely be some kind of
waking up in the middle of the night and to an Indian trying to get you to smoke.
Absolutely.
Cigar.
Yeah. 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 I mean, really, I didn't want to go back to that old chestnut, but yeah, Indian burial ground, that really scared the shit out of me in real life. I thought I saw it. I can't see without my contacts or glasses. So I see a lot of things in the night. So I did see a shaman at the base of the bed, which was very scary.
I love it.
All right. So let's
Cameron,
spin the wheel.
Thank you so much, Matt.
So much.
Wheel.
So much juice. So much.
And we've got Tom Lynch.
What scary movie would you like to exist in, and do you survive until the end? Tom, what kind of question is this? What scary movie would I like to live in? Come on, man.
Man, I thought about this a lot, and I just couldn't quite nail it down. But all of it was based on how much sex can I have before I get killed?
Like it?
And I think, like, I kind of I kind of want to be in Happy Death Day because I get to live those days over and over again. I get to try to get Jessica Roth to fall in love with me or to at least have sex with me once. There are a handful of other ladies in that movie that maybe I could take a swing at.
Before your time is up.
Before my time is up. And I think maybe I could survive until the end because Babyface isn't, he's not incredibly smart or incredibly threatening. I think there's definitely a way, and Jessica Roth's character is the target. So I think there's absolutely a way for me to be able to work around it and live these multiple days. The only problem is if I'm not remembering every day like the lead character is. But that seemed to be the tamest one that I could get by doing the least amount of panicking or the total fear for my life. Like, I definitely wouldn't want to be in Hellraiser. I don't like pleasure or pain all that much.
You don't like pleasure?
I'm not they hand in hand, Matt. You don't get one without the other.
Ian?
Boy.
Would you like me to go?
Yeah, could you?
I'm going to pick Jason X. I think it might be kind of cool to be kind of poking around on a spaceship for a while, experience some outer space sci-fi action. Zero G. I think there were some pretty fine ladies on board that ship as well, Paul.
And you know what Jason loves? Killing sexed up teens.
That's right. Well, then I'm safe because I'm not a teen.
But someone's going to want to have sex with you. That's what they do in Jason movies, right? Didn't they also had sex in Jason X, right?
In Jason sex.
I actually never saw Jason X. I saw that goofy dumb mask they gave him and I was out.
Yeah, I mean, there was sex.
Matt, I like the idea of what can I experience that I've never experienced before I die?
Yeah.
I get to see Earth from outer space.
That's right.
Before I
get your head chopped off.
See,
you know what the worst would be? When they chop your head off, but your head isn't really dead yet, but then your head sees your headless body. That would be the worst last thing you see.
Yeah, that's a problem. I thought about, for the same reason, space travel, you get to see the stars. I was like, oh, Alien might be okay. But really horrible things happen to you in Alien. And I mean, you get to hang out with Sigourney Weaver in her underwear in the 1970s.
But you don't, which because you're pretty dead cool. Before then.
Am I? I mean, do I not? I mean, I don't make it all the way through, but I didn't think that I was dead super
before
early.
The credits are done.
Yeah, before, like, she's in those little underpants. Yeah,
I mean, but maybe I get to see some of that, you know. But but then I also thought about Alien as, well, what are they doing? Oh, they're at work the whole time, which fucking sucks. So that's out the window.
Yeah, Happy Death Day. I'm in college. I'm at frat keggers all day until Babyface shows up. Yeah.
I think that, so I thought about this, and I think that I could probably make my way out of Gremlins. Get to hang out with Phoebe Cates. It's
you might have a good chance of surviving Tales from the Hood.
Maybe. Could be. I was thinking Gremlins because I think I could make it past some Gremlins. I think I could avoid being killed by them. And if
only
I'm...
the dumbest, like, kind of shittiest people got killed by the Gremlins.
And if I got killed by the Gremlins, at least it would be funny. Because the Gremlins are always yucking it up and, like, killing people in pretty hilarious
Would
ways.
You rather be killed in a funny way? Or...
Maybe. I mean, don't they eject that one lady out of her, like, that chair that yes. climbs up? Like, that would be cool. I'd
yeah,
be
but
okay
do you
with
want...
that.
Would you rather that or would you rather be stabbed to death?
I'd rather that. Be and like, as I'm launched out of that chair, like, you're like...
Like, right, that would be fine.
But you don't. But we
as they're like na 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 singing their own theme song as I'm rocketed to my death.
But we
that's kind of charming.
We don't know if that lady dies.
Oh, she it's dies.
Assumed,
she dies,
it's assumed
Paul.
She's dead. But she's also an old lady. Ian, you're a virile 40-year-old.
Not
if you go if you shoot out of the house, there's a good chance you land in the backyard and you're just a paraplegic now.
Maybe, but I feel
I think
like
that's worse than just getting shot in the head by someone.
What else do the gremlins do that they murder people?
Well, they like eat people sometimes.
Ooh, that's horrible. Yeah, they do that. They stab people.
They do.
That's horrible.
Don't they run someone over with something?
Yeah, they run them over with a snow plow.
Yeah, like that's funny.
But like they're laughing so hard as they're driving through the guy's house.
Yeah, I mean,
I love when Murray Futterman tries to close the door.
Yeah,
it's like the screen door
is gonna stop the plow.
And the gremlins are laughing.
I appreciate humor over almost anything.
Is
if
gremlins,
it makes me laugh, I feel like I would laugh dying.
Is Gremlins a Halloween or a Christmas movie?
It's a combination of the two, right? Just like Nightmare Before Christmas is a combination of the two.
I say Nightmare Before Christmas is a Halloween movie.
So
it has Christmas in the title.
I know.
Here's the thing. Neither one of them has to be either or. It's like when dummies argue, is a sandwich a hot dog? Or is
what?
A hot dog a sandwich? It's fucking neither. It's,
it's a hot dog.
It's a hot dog. It's just a fucking hot dog. It can just be a hot dog. It doesn't have to be
Isn't that
a sandwich
Freud
or a taco.
Said?
It can just be a hot dog. Nightmare
well,
Before Christmas,
I
Gremlins,
don't...
they can be Halloween and Christmas movies.
Yeah.
But not Easter.
I mean,
I wouldn't
you know.
Say Easter. But yeah, they fall under both categories. It's okay. This is the problem with present-day America.
Division. Too many trying to put
Division.
Everything in a little bucket. Spin the wheel, Matt. Dan Greenwald of the Comic Book Pit podcast also has a Patreon. Go subscribe. Like and subscribe. Have you ever had a nightmare that was so scary or vivid that you never have forgotten it? So, I mean, I guess I don't know if the Indian shaman thing qualifies as a nightmare because I was definitely awake. I was just hallucinating. So I don't know if that qualifies, but that's the thing that jumps out to me, that something that happened in between the thin veil of slumber and being awake, where I will never ever forget that image in my head and waking up and feeling that. I don't think I've ever had any kind of dream that stuck with me though. So gents, what do you think?
I've talked about the most famous dream that I've had on the podcast before. That involved the Spoon Killer, Paul, who is a McSauce classic. That's a great. That should
Takes
be the
oh shit.
His hand.
That is the slasher Spoon.
The spoon killer. Yeah.
He's you
what
know.
What did you
he,
want
he
him
kills
to do,
you
Paul?
And then he steals your
and
spoons.
Then he steals your spoons. You fucking moron.
Well, you wanted something stupid like he pops your eyes out with spoons.
Something logical like he pops your eyes out. You were like, he murders you and then takes your
it's
silverware.
It's mysterious. Why are the spoons gone?
The
he
cops
leaves.
Never
Why
checked for that.
He lethal injects you and then he takes your spoons.
Or does he put spoons over top of your eyes whenever you die? Little spoons, little spoony spoons. On your nose, like a fucking gremlin would.
He sits you upright. So the spoon hangs properly.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? Maybe that's what I want for my slasher. I want some comedic stylings. I want humor in death. That's what I want.
Michael Myers.
Is he funny?
Pretty humorous guy in the originals and the latest one.
What did he do? Did he draw a smiley face on his fucking victims?
What are you talking
about?
What
did he do?
He does something funny with that guy with the glasses that he kills. Oh, no. He walks into the room in the blanket.
Dress.
And
that's
like
not
the ghost.
Funny. That's scary.
It's clever because he's the killer. He's not the boyfriend anymore. And in the newest one, like doesn't he replace someone's head with a jack-o'-lantern?
He does.
That is
the cops.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Yeah. And he crushes the doctor's head like a pumpkin when he's
waka waka. Matt, waka waka.
Matt, I don't remember your spoon killer dream.
When I was a kid, I had a dream that there was somebody in our house in the middle of the night.
Home invasion and, check.
And me and my mom and dad and my brother were like kind of trying to hide from this killer in the house. And I remember we were huddled in the family room, like kind of behind the couch. And I remember, trust me, it was much scarier at the time. But my dad said, we're going to have to fight him the only way that there is, with forks.
Okay, so then you got your forks, and then and you open the door, and unfortunately, what beats a fork? A spoon.
A spoon. Because you can block with it.
And you can scoop with it. And with if you're really, if you're very spoon savvy,
you can even cut with it.
And if you're very spoon savvy, you can spray water from the sink all over the kitchen with it.
That's true.
Dude, that's very true. Spoon, the ideal murdering instrument. Fuck a knife. Fuck a chainsaw. Spoons.
You just see them that often in slashers these days.
It's the five-tool utensil.
Cameron, I'm sorry. Dan, excuse me for just a minute.
We're very sorry. We had to go back
because
we
got
Cameron. Spoon killer.
It's going to be the spoon killer. Paul, it can be supernatural if you want it to be.
Oh, Matt, I don't care at this point. It's definitely the spoon killer. Okay. It's 100% the spoon killer.
But, okay, so that was my dream. That's the one that has stuck with me probably since I was like 10 years old. And Dan, I promise you, it was the scariest dream I had had in my short life to that point. And even to this day, like, it's kind of creepy. I know it sounds silly, but, like, trust me, the fear was palpable that I experienced then.
Matt, it does. It sounds silly, but I completely understand where you're coming from because as a child, probably around 10 years old, and I know I've talked about it on the podcast before. I had a dream where I was trapped on a raft in the middle of the ocean.
This is a good... That would make for a good movie, by the way. Please continue.
Spoon Killer?
No. What you're about to say, because it reminds me of, like, the first Saw movie or whatever.
Do you know the next part of it?
Yeah, you're, like, stuck with Dracula on a fucking raft in the ocean or something.
Me trapped on a raft in the middle of the ocean with Dracula.
Now, why was he not able to get to you?
He could. That was the thing. Like, I woke up mid-act.
As he was about to sink his teeth in.
Here we are. We're on opposite ends of this raft.
You weren't sitting on the open water for the entire afternoon as he's just like, you know I'm going to kill you.
Oh, no. We weren't having a discussion about how we're going to get out of this pickle that we were in. Like, the dream started, and here we go. But that wasn't the most terrifying dream of my life. And I know I've talked about this dream on the pod before, too.
You know what I would have done real quick?
What would you have done?
I would have blessed the ocean water and jumped in it, so then it had become holy water. So what are you going to do, Dracula? What are you going to do?
Don't you have to be...
You need to be an ordained minister to be able to bless it.
Would you think ahead?
So when Matt gets home tonight, he's going to sign up for the Universal Life Church, become a minister. So just in case, just on the off chance, he's stuck on a raft in the ocean with Dracula, man, he can really put him on the ropes.
How quickly could you turn it to holy water? And is there a proximity?
Dracula has super speed.
Well, let's say he was asleep or something.
Quick is the Lord's blessing?
Right, like, let's say I have to get in there. Right, and how outreaching is it? Is it all the water that's touching? Or is it, like, in a 5-foot radius of the blessing?
I would assume it's all the water.
But why touching. Would you assume that?
So if I'm in the ocean, just off the coast
the
of New Jersey.
Ocean, that fries all of the vampires
all the way to Europe.
Taking
a leisurely swim.
Well, if someone blesses the font
and at the front of blessing, church,
it's just that font. If it's bigger and bigger and bigger, like that should hold.
Does it take time for the blessing to travel outward from where it was originally blessed? Like, if you're at one end of the ocean,
how long is
does it move
at
supersonic speed? Supersonic blessing speed?
And how long does the blessing last?
Well, Lewis, I believe it lasts the entire time that the water is there until it evaporates or gets drunk.
So why hasn't the church thought of this?
To bless the ocean?
To bless, yeah, the oceans of the world.
I guess they don't feel that it's maybe overwrought with vampires.
You know what? Maybe they did, and that's why there are no vampires
in the ocean. They
only can cross in boats.
You don't see it, right?
You don't see vampires swimming.
Not since Nosferatu.
I've never seen a vampire swim.
Well, vampire lore is they need to travel open water
in the dirt of
their homeland.
And why is that?
Because
they can't swim.
Because years ago, priests blessed the oceans. And some lakes and rivers.
Assorted lakes and rivers. Like Lake Erie. Definitely not.
And the occasional swimming pool.
All right, let's spin her up.
Very cool. I'd like a ruling from Exhaust Nation on the blessing speed.
Oh, sugar.
Jesse Gratton, a.k.a. Sugar. Favorite horror book?
Mine's easy. It's been my favorite horror book since high school, and I've read a lot of horror stuff. But everyone knows I like it. But I've been rereading the Stephen King catalog, and oh my god, did I love Christine! I had never read it before. I think Christine is so fucking good. It's not just a killer car. There's so much more to the human characters and their transformation and what this car's spirit does to the characters in the book. Like Christine is such an interesting, it's such an interesting take. There's so much more depth to it than, oh, a car that likes to kill people. Such a cool book. Highly recommend Christine.
I need a ruling because it is also my favorite book, but we're a Stephen King house here. Under the Dome, is that sci-fi? Is that horror? Is that a combination of the two? Because I really like Under the Dome, the novel.
I never read Under the Dome, the novel, but I watched, the first two seasons of the series.
The series isn't very good.
Well, it's like Tommyknockers. Tommyknockers is aliens, so is it sci-fi? But it's also horror. Sci-fi and horror, like, there's such a thin line between the two of them. Alien, we were just talking about it. I think Under the Dome is just like the hot dog. It can be whatever you want it to be. If you're a piece of shit that needs to be like, is it a taco or a sandwich? You know what? Whatever you want. Whatever you want, you trash person. It can just be a hot dog.
The person that is asking you these questions about your food?
I see it all the time. You know what?
Stay off social media.
You know what Under the Dome
can be? Block the word
under
sandwich.
Under the Dome can be sci-fi horror. Because few things work as well as sci-fi and horror. They're like ketchup and mustard.
They're like taco and sandwich.
They're intertwined.
Under the Dome is a story about what happens to people whenever you get put in a dome. I cannot imagine if a dome went up over, let's just say, Pittsburgh, and what these monsters would do to each other contained within a dome. Already we're contained within our houses and people are acting pretty crazy. Under the Dome, really, really great book about just people trying to figure out how to live with each other in a very contained space. So wouldn't watch the TV show. I watched a couple episodes. No. Really bad. But the novel, great. Matt?
Well, we're not 100% a Stephen King house. I like some Stephen King, but I also think he's pretty overrated. I find his writing to be really, really wordy and bloated and just kind of like meandering. I prefer Dean Koontz, who I feel like is much more straightforward, to the point, a lot punchier. And I don't know, like, I feel like some of the stuff I've read from Dean Koontz has been every bit, if not more, creepy or scary than the stuff from Stephen King. My favorite one from Dean Koontz is Intensity, home invasion book. Ian, if you haven't read it, you probably should. Like, you get one chapter in, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to read the rest of this tonight. But I want to give a special shout out to my first favorite horror book that I ever read, Benicula. If you guys remember Benicula, the children's book with the vampire cat and the dog Harold the dog Harold and the cat Chester.
Excellent, excellent book, excellent novel.
Yeah, yeah. So, special shout out to that. It's been forever since I read it, so I don't really remember it, except I remember liking it. And getting the whole series, I got that, and the Celery Stalks at Midnight, and yes, the Howling Inn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was...
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about. Benicula?
It was anthropomorphic animals, and the rabbit was Dracula. Very good. Very good stuff.
Yeah.
I also haven't read them. I kind of don't want to. I want the
as in like a bunny Dracula.
Yes. Duh.
What'd you think bunny meant?
Like, no, Playboy I was trying bunny? I was trying to spell this like Benicula.
Well, Paul enunciated it more correctly.
Yeah, isn't it Bunicula?
Bunicula.
Because he's a bunny.
Yeah.
Dracula hybrid.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I've never read this. I don't know what you're talking about.
Good stuff.
So he's a fucking really bunny? Good stuff. And he's Dracula?
What's that?
He's a bunny and he's Dracula?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's anthropomorphic pets. It's like Lady and the Tramp, but fighting horror.
I sort of do want to just go home and read it tonight.
I do too. I can't.
You guys both own.
Not anymore.
Bunicula.
I may have brought Holiday in home from my mom's. Like, I don't know if it's down here or if it's upstairs, but I'm pretty sure I have it in the house.
Okay.
Wasn't Holiday in the first one? That's how they find
Benicula was binocula? The first one.
Oh.
I hate I the way that you guys are it's pronouncing it.
I'm sorry. How
binocula?
Should I
it's not binocula either.
It is binocula because it's a bunny and it's Dracula, so it's both soft use. Binocula.
Maybe, but no.
It's fucking English.
You know what
it
is?
You don't say Dracula.
It's
Dracula.
Stapicula.
Dracula.
This is fucking dumb.
Binocula.
Dumicula.
Binocula.
All right, let's roll.
Let's spin the fucking weekula.
You guys are the worst friends.
Who is it?
Oh, Paunch.
Paunch. If you and one superhero were zombified and were stuck on an island full of delicious humans, who would that superhero be and why? So, this punch, a lot of moving parts on this question.
Yeah, I read the first time I read it, I was like, oh, I understand. Then I read it again today and I was like, oh, wait, this is totally different. Because when I first read it, I thought it was, if you were stuck on an island and a superhero was a zombie, what superhero would you want that to be? And like my immediate thought was, oh, well, someone I could beat up so I don't get killed. But then I read the rest.
Wait,
of it.
What superhero can you beat up?
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Right?
What was your first?
Well, does
guess?
Jimmy Olsen count?
I don't know.
No, he's not a superhero.
I got it. You know, zombie Benicula.
But Benicula. What? It,
oh
but
wait, but nunchucks or
but
whatever
Ian,
you said.
Ian, I.
But knock your lock.
I think you also, you know, you also agree that it's you and a superhero are both zombies and get to go
destroy
an island and eat an all island. The people.
So it's like, who would be the most destructive and ravenous superhero zombie? That's how I'm taking this, right? Who would help you eat the most people?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, so I guess if we're zombies and our main goal is no longer drinking beer or having sex, then it's yes. eating people. Yes. Like, you want someone with you to facilitate that as quickly as possible. So I would think Homelander, because he, in life, he has no morals, laser visioning people in pieces all the time. I mean, you're getting barbecue every day.
You know, so
it's not raw flesh, it's cooked.
I can't argue with that.
He's heat visioning it to, like, so. I mean, you're instantly, he's got Superman's powers, bing, bang, boom, you're done with that island of people in a heartbeat. You have flesh for days.
But then you would die. So,
but that's the problem being on an island, because
I mean,
like, eventually you're gonna. So, do you want to make it last? Who's gonna street level then? You want to go with Daredevil to make it a little more of a challenge to find and kill everyone?
I want to get off this island and eat some people. Give me zombie Nightcrawler. Let's get out of here. Let's eat these people and then bamf. Let's get back to the
mainland.
Let's get to the mainland. I know this water is fucking blessed, so we got to get out.
You know what, Nightcrawler? You're not a vampire.
So we're all good.
So even if you bamf us into the ocean, we're going to be okay.
Matt?
I think either one of your choices are good, but I'm just going to go with She-Hulk because she's hot.
So you're going to have ravenous, muscular zombie sex.
Mm-hmm.
I like She-Hulk because she's gonna belay all the killing a little bit.
That's
like,
right.
I think, like, Homelander, we're going to be done too fast and we're going to be hungry again. But She-Hulk's going to allow people to hide.
That's right.
I think they're safe. And then she's just going to kick down some walls and Matt's dinner is ready.
I mean, She-Hulk is also a lawyer, so she's going to be like, I don't know.
She'll not on zombie brains.
She's like, brains? Her... Brains?
That's right. She'll throw me a bone.
Yeah. All right, spin this fucking wheel. So Chuck Lynch, no relation to Tom Lynch, his question, I guess, is we talked about this a little bit. It's a fun conversation. Favorite or least favorite Halloween candy? And what's your take on Huggies? So we talk about favorite or least favorite candy all the time, but we can do it again.
We can blaze through a couple of these.
Yeah, so ones like this. So let's do round the horn, favorite and least favorite candy. Well, Matt, you want to start with your favorite candy?
I feel like it's not Halloween unless there's Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. That is the gold standard of Halloween candies.
Really? Interesting. Paul?
Reese's Cups do seem to be a staple, but I am going to go Mallow Cups all day. Ugh, all day.
Disgusting.
The cousin of the Reese's Cup, the chocolate, coconut, and marshmallow. Is there a better combo, Matt? And I split a snowball tonight. Delicious. I'm sorry, a glow ball.
It was Halloween themed.
Disgusting. I'll go straight old school, standard Snickers bar. I like a Snickers bar.
That is a vending machine candy bar. That is
it's something that I would be delighted if they gave me a Snickers bar.
Delighted?
Or
like
just
a
satisfied?
Whole,
delighted or satisfied?
I feel like you'd just be satisfied.
You know what? I'm not myself if I don't have one, so.
Okay.
I'm on board for Huggies.
Wait, like, least favorite?
Least favorite. Oh. I mean, the Mallow Cup, you're such a weirdo. That's disgusting. That shit is gross.
Ian?
It is. It's gross.
Come on. Are you just being funny for the podcast?
No, I'm being real.
We're gonna have some, and you're gonna be like, God damn it.
No,
this guy was right the whole time.
Some. So, okay, least favorite.
Least favorites, like, man, I want to say candy corn, but you don't get candy corn when you're trick-or-treating.
No, you don't. Have you guys ever gotten... Have you got...
Least favorite's fruit. Have you... If someone tries to give you, like, an apple...
Yeah, have you ever gotten... I've gotten a pear before. Yeah. Like, go to fucking hell.
Least favorite is not candy.
Yeah. Or have you guys ever gotten, like... pennies or dimes? Like, did anybody ever give you money?
Pens. Yeah, I've gotten pennies.
I've never gotten pens, but I've gotten, like, nickels and shit.
I got pens. Like, there was a dentist in the neighborhood, so we got toothbrushes.
Oh, I've gotten toothbrushes before.
I'm going to go with the Bit-O-Honey.
Bit-O-Honey is not good. Not good.
Yeah, sugar daddies are kind of like that, where it's
I like sugar daddies.
It's so hard to eat.
Yeah.
Thank God kids don't have fillings, because... Yeah. They would just
they don't anymore?
Well, I mean, not yet. After the candy, they do.
They do. That's what causes them.
That's right.
What's the group stance on goobers? Do we like goobers?
What are goobers?
Chocolate-covered nuts.
Chocolate-covered nuts?
Yeah.
Peanuts?
Yeah.
They're fine.
I mean, they're...
What, you big goober guy over
that's
there?
That's movie candy.
Yeah,
movie candy.
I guess. I like to mix it up. You guys like Raisinets?
It's not a trick-or-treat candy. It's a movie candy.
Snow caps?
Anyone? I love Raisinets.
I know.
Give me some chocolate-covered Nature's Candy. I'm all about it. So how do we feel about Huggies in your trick-or-treat bag?
Great. Good times.
I think they're quality. If I remember correctly, I would drink them... like wild trick-or-treating, because they were like a quality pit stop almost, if
absolutely
you will.
Matt, you nailed it. It's like you're running a marathon and somebody's holding out a cup of Gatorade or water or something like that. You just grab that Huggy and you just gulp it down so that you can keep going.
I'm on board for Huggies because of the volume. Looked like it was expensive. They're big. They're bigger than like a mini Snickers or like a mini Kit Kat. Like, Huggies are pretty big.
Ooh,
so as a kid, I would be like, "Oh, this person is shelling out for us."
See, I always thought that the people
hydrated with sugar.
I always felt like they were like, "Keep going, young man."
I swear to God,
the goal is in front of you.
I swear, in my one of my last trick or treating adventures,
was a couple years
one of the kid, yeah, it was last year. One of the kids that I was with, I swear to God, if I remember correctly, asked one of the homeowners if he could have a glass of water because he was thirsty.
Just give that fucking kid a Huggy and get out.
He was probably holding out house to house. Please, house, have Huggies. And we never got a Huggy.
No,
so he was
did.
Like,
so
can
like,
I have some water?
And they're like, you know what? I got one better. I got straight up sugar, homie. Get out there. Spin the wheel.
And we are on Tiffany's to close it out tonight. Tiffany asks, which It character are you and why? Matt?
I'm the black kid.
Why? Is it because he's book smart?
Mm-hmm.
Is it because Mike Hanlon thinks he's better than everyone else?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All of the above.
Would I pick you as Mike Hanlon? Maybe the better question is who would we pick as each other's It character?
Okay, that's... Who would, if you're not going to pick Mike Hanlon, who am I going to be then?
Matt, well, I don't know if you're not Mike Hanlon, but I feel like you're a little more adventurous. You have greater needs than Mike Hanlon, who selflessly stayed behind to watch the store.
Yeah.
But I feel like you also like doing things your own way. You're your own man.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be Eddie. That's going to be subservient to his wife. I don't know if you're nice enough to be Bill Denbrough. I think maybe you're Richie Tozier.
I'll take that.
Everyone's single except, well, no, I mean, not everyone's single, but, you know, Richie kind of blazes his own trail, does what he wants, gets nice and famous as a radio comedian.
Sounds like me. Podcast, like, you know, podcast.
You do it. Famous. You do what you want to do. You know, you answer to no one, and that's Richie Tozier. You're pretty funny.
Aww,
I
thanks.
Like your comedic stylings. We've been doing this for a long time, so right. Yeah. I would, Matt or Ian. You want to dispute that? You think?
No. That's a good one. Matt, who do you think that Paul would be? I have my guess.
I don't know, Ian. You tell me, and I'll see if I agree.
I think that Paul is Bill Denbrough. Paul is generally in the front. He likes to take leadership roles, even if it leads us down the path of getting our PayPal accounts blocked on TeePublic and things like that. But he is a trail. He is a trailblazer and does like to be the focal point of the group. And that is what Bill Denbrough is for the book It and the movies. So I think that is...
A little brother.
You do. And he was...
And a slight stutter.
He was... And he was your little brother, famously. Not a lot of people know this, but
lost
his
arm.
He was eaten by a clown in a sewer because, right. You know, your mom didn't warn you about clown sewers.
It was a long time ago. I can laugh about it now.
Yeah, it's, you know,
your little brother had a thing for galoshes.
Yeah, and paper boats.
It big was, galosh guy.
It was weird. It was the 90s, and he was making paper boats. And I'm like, you're going to get eaten by sewer clowns. And he was like, no, I'm not. And then he did.
Yeah, look what happened, dummy.
It was super weird. It's the 90s. Why are you making paper boats?
And you also, I know that you also really like the saying that he repeats.
I do. He thrusts his fist against the post and still insists he sees the ghost. Which was a mantra of my own to stop stuttering when I'm telling stories.
To post thrust.
Oh, daddy loves a good post thrust.
So yeah, Bill Denbrough is my call for you, Mr. McGinty.
Ian.
I get to be Beverly Marsh?
Well, you know, I had a long talk with your dad about him feeding you. I don't necessarily want to say Ian's my family, but like Ian, you're a very hometown guy. You're a very loyal guy, and I think you would be the guy to man the store and to hold the fort and to be the guy that everyone trusts with the most important information, the most important task.
I think that's correct as well. I think that Mike Hanlon's thing is that he remembers the stuff that happened. And I feel like I am that person in our friend group and my family. I'm the person that remembers the thing. So even though he's the black guy, hey, shoe fits, dog. Wear it.
Mike Hanlon, arguably the most important character in that book, because he's the catalyst for eventually getting it done.
I like it.
That's going to do it for us tonight. Thank you, McSauce Nation, for providing your questions. We really appreciate everyone following along, buying our wares, supporting the Patreon.
Especially those shower curtains and backpacks.
Oh, someone please buy a McSauce shower curtain. Send us a picture, please.
Of you in the shower, hopefully.
Or just the shower curtain. Tom Lynch, please take a picture of you in a massage shower curtain. That's going to do it for us tonight. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Rich. What's Richie's last name?
Tozier.
Tozier.
Richie Tozier.
We'll see you next time.